Welcome to Evening Under Lamplight, the show that invites you to attend on Cambridge Community Radio, Cambridge 105, with your host, Robert Louis Abrahamson. You can reach us with an email sent to lamplight@cambridge105.fm or at momentsunderlamplight, all one word, momentsunderlamplight.com, where you'll find a special tag for Evening Under Lamplight. We'd love to hear from you what thoughts or feelings the show has raised for you, or what you would like to recommend, or what you would like to see changed. And this evening, Under Lamplight, we're going to pick up a theme we treated quite a long time ago in Series 1 of Evening Under Lamplight, dancing. There are, of course, many good songs about dancing and many metaphoric, not to say mythic, overtones to dancing that ought to provide a varied and interesting show this evening. My neighbor and her mother just went to the O2 Arena last night to see Come Dancing. This was the mother's birthday treat, and she'd driven all the way down from Scotland to attend. "Oh," I said when they told me, is that the Kinks show?" "Oh, no," they said, as though speaking to a dim schoolchild. "No, it's the BBC show." "Oh, I was just checking. I've never seen this show on television, but I have seen Ray Davies' musical, Come Dancing, and just wanted to be sure that it hadn't been revived and I missed it, you know." Well, Come Dancing was a stage musical Ray Davies wrote, which was performed in London about 3.5 years ago, building on his 1983 song called Come Dancing. And this is the song we'll begin with this evening. Of course, Ray Davies can't write a simple song about dancing. It has to involve a drama of conflicting emotions, both personal and social. Behind this song is a whole story of the changing tastes in the late 50s, when the local pallies, the local dance halls, where the big bands used to play, lost out to that new wave of rock and roll taking over the taste of the young dancers. We find Ray looking far back to his childhood, 25 years or so in the past, and using the demise of the pally as a symbol of all that has been lost. Attend to the way he takes us back through a few steps marked by what had been put up and knocked down in one spot in London. They put a parking lot on a piece of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that, they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big bands used to come and play. And then the shift from the large view to the more intimate family view. "My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural." Moving back to a different time means we also move back to different sexual politics too, as the girl keeps the boy under control. She would be ready, but she'd always make him wait, in the hallway, in anticipation. He didn't know the night would end up in frustration. He'd end up blowing all his wages for the week, all for a cuddle and a peck on the cheek. Oh yes, that's the way they used to do it back in the days when they'd all come dancing on a Saturday night. But in a Ray Davies song, the past always disappears out of view, out of touch. He's already told us that they knocked down the pally, but what is the response? "The day they knocked down the pally, my sister stood and cried. The day they knocked down the pally, part of my childhood died, just died." Then the ironical shift back to the present, seedy, worn out, as he finds himself playing in the kind of band that was responsible for the demise of the dance halls. And since this is the way things go, those who had been young now take on the parents' role on the sidelines. But maybe all it would take would be just to go out dancing again, and maybe we could touch the past again. Watch how Ray says all this in just a few lines. Now I'm grown up and playing in a band, and there's a car park where the Palais used to stand. My sister's married and she lives on an estate. Her daughters go out, now it's her turn to wait. She knows they get away with things she never could, but if I asked her, I wonder if she would come dancing. Come on, sister, have yourself a ball. Don't be afraid to come dancing. It's only natural.
They put a parking lot on a piece of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that, they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural. Another Saturday, another date. She would be ready, but she'd always make him wait. In the hallway, in anticipation. He didn't know the night would end up in frustration. He'd end up blowing all his wages for the week, or for a cuddle and a peck on the cheek. Come dancing, that's how they did it when I was just a kid. And when they said come dancing, my sister always did. Should have come in at midnight, and my mom would always sit up and wait. It always ended up in a big row when my sister used to get home late. Out of my window I could see them in the moonlight, two silhouettes saying goodnight by the garden gate. The day they knocked down the Palais, sister's married and she lives on an estate. Her daughters go out, now it's her turn to wait. She knows they get away with things she never could, but if I asked her, I wonder if she would. Come dancing, come on sister, have yourself a ball. Don't be afraid to come dancing, it's only natural.
And what do we have here? A rock band or some sort of 50s calypso big band production? Well, a fusion of it all, of course, past and present. Oh, but what's that you say? You don't want to dance? You're feeling too lonely, too cold inside? Well, let's stay with the Kinks for a minute. They have something to say to you about this. Here's a song addressed, so Ray has said, to the same lady as Come Dancing. It's one of his tenderest songs. Dancing now means not just going out to the Palais on a Saturday night, but getting out of our loneliness and our sense that we're getting beyond it all and re-engaging with life, dancing with it all. You look out of your window into the night. Could be rain, could be snow, but it can't feel as cold as what you're feeling inside. And all of your friends are either married, vanished, or just left alone. But that's no reason to just stop living. That's no excuse to just give in to a sad and lonely heart. Don't forget to dance. No, no, no. Don't forget to smile. Don't forget to dance. No, no, no. Forget it for a while. 'Cause darling, darling, I'll bet you danced a good one in your time. And if this were a party, I'd really make sure the next one would be mine. Yes, you with the broken heart. You walk down the street and all the young punks whistle at you. A nice bit of old. Just goes to show what you can achieve with the right attitude. As you pass them by, they whisper their remarks one to another, and you give them the eye, even though you know that you could be their mother. You do the thing you love the best, what separates you from the rest, and what you love to do the most. And when they ask me how you dance, I'll say that you dance real close. Don't forget to dance. We can dance with these words, but watch how much deeper the dance is with Ray's voice and the Kinks' music. Was their Kinks double header, Come Dancing and Don't Forget to Dance, both from the 1983 album State of Confusion. And here is a song that combines both Don't Forget to Dance and Come Dancing. The guy, presumably named Henry, begins by asking, Hey baby, what do I have to do to make a hit with you? And her reply is simple, Dance with me, Henry. There are lots of other words in this song to describe dancing with me. Rock with me, talk to me, roll on, stop your stalling, get with it, feel that boogie beat, get the lead out of your feet, dance to me, jump with me. They all invite him to get on the floor and dance, but they also suggest doing more together later. All lyrics for blues songs have sexual undertones. The original title, Roll With Me, Henry, was considered too suggestive. And then they can also have the larger sense of just engaging with her. The guy stands there like a dummy, asking what he has to do to make a hit with her. Well, he has to engage with her, not just stand there asking. Yes, you may well have guessed that we're moving on to Etta James' Dance With Me, Henry. A song from 1955, one of the earliest crossovers between rhythm and blues and rock and roll. Etta James died earlier this month, on January 20th. Many people have paid tribute to her, and here's ours, complete with vinyl cracking.
Hey, baby, what do I have to do to make you love me too?
I got to roll with.
You
Thank you, Etta James. Sir Thomas Eliot sees dancing as an emblem of the harmony between a man and a woman. In every dance of a most ancient custom, there danceth together a man and a woman, holding each other by the hand or the arm, which betokeneth concord. That was 1531, and his descendant T.S. Eliot would make those lines famous for modern readers. The problem is that not all men and women come together dancing like this. I want to go back to a Dylan song we've heard a few times on Evening Under Lamplight. I don't believe you. She acts like we never have met. The song takes on new meaning in the context of dancing. It begins with the end of dancing, as she lets go of his hand and left me here facing the wall, a kind of wallflower now, I suppose. I'd sure like to know why she did go, but I can't get close to her at all. Something has gone wrong. It's very different from the passionate dance of the previous night, when we kissed through the wild, blazing nighttime. But now morning's clear, it's like I ain't here. She just acts like we never have met. He keeps being haunted by last night's dance. Though the night ran swirling and whirling, I remember her whispering yet, but evidently she don't, and evidently she won't. She just acts like we never have met. And before their passionate dance together, there was another dance at some cafe or nightclub or something, as she stood there dancing to the performer's song, a kind of solitary dance, not holding hands by any means. Maybe he was the guitarist, and this was some connection through the music, a dance across a room before coming together in the night, betokening concord, at least for a while. Though her skirt it swayed as the guitar played, her mouth was watery and wet. But now something has changed, for she ain't the same, she just acts like we never have met. What caused her to let go of his hand and stop the dance? We just don't know, nor does he. Perhaps nor does she. The dance just seems to have come to an end. But in another sense, it continues in his mind, if not in hers, as a haunting ghost of a dance, haunting in our minds, too, as we attend to the song. There are many versions, but I still like the studio version from Another Side of Bob Dylan the best.
I can't understand. She let go of my hand and left me here facing the wall. I'd sure like to know why she did go, but I can't get close to her at all. Though we kissed through the wild blazing that time, she said she would never forget. But now morning is clear, it's like I ain't here. She acts like we never met. It's only to me, like some mystery. It could even be like a myth. But it's hard to think on that she's the same one that last night I was with. From darkness dreams I deserted. Am I still dreaming yet? I wish she'd unlock her voice once and talks that acting like we never met. If she ain't feeling well, then why don't she tell, instead of turning her back to my face? Without any doubt, she seems too far out for me to return to your chase. Her skirt swayed as the guitar played. Her mouth was watery and wet. But now something has changed. Pussy ain't the same. She just acts like we never have met. If I didn't have to guess, I'd gladly confess to anything I might have tried. If I was with her too long, or I've done something wrong, I'd wish she'd tell me what it is, I'll run and hide. Though the night ran swirling and whirling, I remember her whispering, yet. But evidently she don't, evidently she won't. She just acts like we never have met. I'm leaving today, I'll be on my way. Of this I can't say very much. But if you want me to, I can be just like you and pretend that we never have touched. And if anybody asks me, is it easy to forget? I say it's easily done, you just pick anyone and pretend that you never have met.
Okay, Bob Dylan, I Don't Believe You. She just acts like we never have met. Let's move to another example of someone dancing alone to herself in unselfconscious response to music, a young girl this time rather than a woman. In 1874, Robert Louis Stevenson was convalescing in Mentone on the Riviera at a hotel where there were also staying two aristocratic Russian ladies and their two girls. He never discovered whose child was whose. The younger girl, Bella, was, as Stevenson said in a letter, a kid about 2.5 years old and speaks 6 languages. The words come up all the same as they come handy: English, French, German, Italian, Russian, etc. She calls me Monsieur Baracchino, which is the Italian for polisson or rascal. Stevenson loved this. She's a hell of a jolly kid, he said. One night, the ladies organized an impromptu dancing party for several children, and after the older children finished dancing, the young Bella started dancing by herself. Here's how Stevenson described it several months later in an essay called Notes on the Movements of Young Children. After the others had desisted, the musician still continued to play, and a little button between 2 or 3 years old came out into the cleared space and began to figure before us as the music prompted. I had an opportunity of seeing her not on this night only, but on many subsequent nights, and the wonder and comical admiration she inspired was only deepened as time went on. She had an admirable musical ear, and each new melody, as it struck in her a new humour, suggested wonderful combinations and variations of movement. Now it would be a dance with which she would suit the music, now rather an appropriate pantomime, and now a mere string of disconnected attitudes. But whatever she did it with the same verve and gusto. The spirit of the air seemed to have entered into her and to possess her like a passion. And you could see her struggling to find expression for the beauty that was in her against the inefficacy of the dull, half-informed body. Though her footing was uneven and her gestures often ludicrously helpless, Still, the spectacle was not merely amusing. And though subtle inspirations of movement miscarried in tottering travesty, you could still see that they had been inspirations. You could still see that she had set her heart on realizing something just and beautiful, and that, by the discipline of these abortive efforts, she was making for herself in the future a quick, supple, and obedient body. It was grace in the making. She was not to be daunted by any merriment of people looking on critically. The music said something to her, and her whole spirit was intent on what the music said. She must carry out its suggestions, she must do her best to translate its language into that other dialect of the modulated body into which it can be translated most easily and fully. Well, that's an amazing point if we can grasp it. Little Bella, giving herself entirely and unselfconsciously to the music, was, we might say, educating, or certainly training, her body to respond in fluid movement to the world outside. It was, as Stevenson says, grace in the making. Gracefulness may come naturally to us, but we still have to train our body to respond to the grace we feel as the outside harmonies dance with our inner receptivity. You and I, of course, are much older than Bella, but I don't see why we, too, cannot attend to what goes on outside us, dance to its impulses, and make our clumsy, inept selves more graceful in the process. Now, you're listening to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, Cambridge's community radio. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and you can always reach me by email at lamplight@cambridge105.fm. This evening, under lamplight, we're inviting you to come dancing. And speaking of unselfconscious dancing, here's Frank Zappa's prediction of a utopian future where no one will judge you and you can do what you like, unselfconscious and free. There will come a time when everybody who is lonely will be free to sing and dance and love. There will come a time when every evil that we know will be an evil that we can rise above. Who cares if hair is long or short or sprayed or partly grayed? We know that hair ain't where it's at. There will come a time when you won't even be ashamed if you are fat. Who cares if you're so poor you can't afford to buy a pair of Moda Go-Go stretch elastic pants? There will come a time when you can even take your clothes off when you dance. Now what can be nicer than that? But then listen to the performance of these words and attend to all the different ways the mothers of invention have to mock this idealism, as though, sure, hippie utopia is so likely to happen.
There will come a time when everybody who is lonely will be free to sing and dance and love. There will come a time when every evil that we know will be an evil that we can rise above. Who cares if hair is long or short or straight or partly gray? We know that hair ain't where it's at. There will come a time when you won't even be ashamed if you are fat.
Love.
There will come a time when every evil that we know will be an evil that we can rise above.
Rise above.
Who cares if you're so poor you can't afford to buy a pair of Moda Go-Go stretch elastic pants? There will come a time when you can even take your clothes off when you dance.
That that was the Mothers of Invention, predicting a time when you can take your clothes off when you dance. Wah, 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 wah. But even flowers dance. William Wordsworth describes an interesting kind of dance, a kind of reel, we might say, in his famous poem on daffodils. First, the poet is alone, as a cloud, above all earthly things. Then he sees a host of daffodils fluttering and dancing in the breeze. The flowers and the breeze are dancing together, and the waves of the lake join in. But the poet, who for the moment is excluded, becomes so attracted by the scene that later, alone again, back home, he finds the scene recurring in his heart, and it is then, when it means the most, that the reel comes round to him, and he can now join in the dance with the daffodils. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not but be gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the show to me had brought, for oft, when on my couch I lie in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. This kind of dancing for joy can become sacred dancing too. Think about King David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant as it was being brought to Jerusalem. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. That is, he was wearing a loosely fitted garment, slit down the side, with bare arms and presumably bare legs. His sacred dancing clothes. Like Stevenson's Bella and like the daffodils, he was dancing unselfconsciously, unconcerned that in all likelihood he was showing too much skin. His wife Michal, the royal daughter of King Saul, never considered joining in. She looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Too bad for Michal. She was too concerned with appearances. She was like those people who say they won't dance because they don't want to mess up their hair or look silly in front of all the other people. Self-conscious, you see. We need to ask ourselves now and then if we are David or Michal facing life's dance. And here's a modern poem about a religious dance, but not in the usual sense. Marge Percy retells the story of her grandmother's dancing on Shabbos in the old country, and dancing through all life and on into the imagination and onto the pages of her granddaughter. The poem is called On Shabbat She Dances on the Candle Flame.
On Shabbat she dances in the candle flames. How we danced then, you can imagine, my grandmother said. We danced till we were dizzy. We danced till the room spun like a dreidel. We danced ourselves drunk and giddy. We danced till we fell panting. We were poor, my grandmother said, a few potatoes, some half-rotten beans, greens from the hedgerow. But then on Shabbat we ate a chicken. The candles shone on the golden skin. We drank sweet wine and flew up to the ceiling. How I loved him, you can't imagine, my grandmother said. He was from St. Petersburg. My father could scarcely believe he was a Jew. He dressed so fine. His eyes burned when he looked at me. He quoted Pushkin instead of Mishnah. 9 languages, and still the Tsar wanted him in the army, where Jews went off but never returned. My father married us from his deathbed. We escaped under a load of straw. You can't imagine. We were frightened mice. 11 children I bore, my grandmother said, 9 who grew up, 4 who died before me. Now I sing in your ear. When you pray, I stand beside you. Elijah's cup on the Seder table is for me, who cooked and never sat down. Now I sit enthroned on your computer. Now I am the queen of dust mop tales. I preside over your memory, lighting candles that summon the dead. I touch your lids while you sleep, and when you awake, you imagine me.
Marge Percy reading her poem On Shabbat She Dances on the Candle Flame, followed by Itzhak Perelman playing the Yiddish tune Tati und Mama Tanz, Daddy and Mommy Dance. Well, next, here's a quick song by Randy Newman that I've always loved, Simon Smith and His Amazing Dancing Bear. It's not really complicated or morose or nasty like many of Randy Newman's other songs, though it does have an edge, as Simon Smith and His Dancing Bear perform inside expensive restaurants trying to get people to feed them. But who would think a boy and bear could be well accepted everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be. After all, who needs money when you're funny?
I may go out tomorrow if I can borrow a coat to wear. Oh, I step out in style with my sincere smile and my dancing bear. Outrageous, alarming, courageous, charming. Oh, who would think a boy and bear could be well accepted everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be. Nicest places where well-fed faces all stop to stare, making the grandest entrance of Simon Smith in his dancing bear. They'll love us, won't they? They feed us, don't they? Oh, who would think a boy and bear could be well accepted everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be. Simon Smith and his dancing bear is Simon Smith.
I used to dance Neil Henry in my arms down the hill to nursery school while singing this song. It's a wonder we didn't trip all the way down Benslow Lane. And while we're here on an upbeat, let's all get up and join in some folk dances as Fairport Convention give us a medley of songs. Lark in the Morning, Rakish Paddy, Fox Hunter's Jig, and Toss the Feathers. Intriguing titles, but there's no time to think about that. The music's here to take us up on our feet. Was Fairport Convention with a medley from their acclaimed 1969 album Liege and Leaf with Dave Swarbrick on the fiddle that he did so much to revive on the British folk rock scene. Lots of violins for our dances this evening. And to end, we'll slow the pace, shift to a different kind of violin and return to our heart as we hear Leonard Cohen sing Dance Me to the End of Love. What kind of end of love? Does he mean dance me all the time until love ends? Does he want to keep dancing until it's all over? Well, that's one sense of the end of love. But maybe there's another sense too. End as in the goal. What is the end or goal of love? Why, just love, I suppose, just appreciating and delighting in the beautiful things and people we love, and sharing that love back and forth, holding each other by the hand or the arm which betokeneth concord, as Sir Thomas Eliot said. And so, isn't it precisely by dancing itself that we actually come to this end or goal of love, the place where love rests as itself? We turn and whirl in our dancing round that still place of the turning world, as T.S. Eliot said, and there the dance is, in the movement and in the stillness at the heart of the movement. What? You find it hard to get to such a place? Well, so do I, so there. And Leonard Cohen knows we're not very good dancers. That's why he implores whoever it is he is speaking to here to come help with the dance. After all, the whole point is that we don't dance alone. Even Stevenson's Bella had the musicians to help her. Dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my homeward dove. Dance me to the end of love. This end of love, it seems, is also our homecoming, the olive branch, the homeward dove. Here we are with Noah at the end of the flood, seeking the stability of dry land to offer thanks. There are many versions of this song, but let's listen to the version live in 1994. With its clearly burning violin coming in and out through the song.
Moving like they do in Babylon.
Thank you for sharing this dance with me this evening. It's Robert Louis Abrahamson on Cambridge 105, Community Radio in Cambridge. The show itself, of course, is a kind of dance, a threesome reel, I suppose, as you and I and the words and music all dance together. Take me by the hand then, and let's be token concord, as all radio should. Good night.
Love.